You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Many Americans who don't work for the government have yet to feel any real impact from the shutdown, which began December 20th. But if you depend on federal funding for basic services because of long-ago promises, these are challenging times. Native American tribes all across the country are feeling the crunch from this federal shutdown. Here with us is the chairman of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians, Aaron Payment. Welcome back to Stateside.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Aaron. And it is a challenging new year for your tribe. Take us back in history, Aaron, and explain to us, why are tribes like yours so dependent on federal dollars?
So I don't like to use the term dependent. I would say we're reliant on federal dollars. When we entered the treaties, in Michigan in particular, in 1836, we entered a treaty that connected the peninsulas, and then Michigan was able to become a state as a result of it 1 year later. And in that exchange, the federal government promised health, education, and social welfare as long as the grass grows, the winds blow, and the rivers flow. And so that's forever, and we don't have the ability to take the land back. The valuation is much more than we will ever receive, but we traded 14 million acres of land in Michigan alone for the pledge for those health, education, and social welfare. And across the country, tribes traded 500 million acres of land that made this country great. And so we're reliant on those funds because they are due to us in exchange for the land transfer. And it's incorporated within our programs and services administrations. Many tribes supplement that to a great extent with gaming revenue or enterprise revenue. My tribe is an example. We give 100% of our net revenue, or about $18 million, is pledged towards programs and services and operations. And so right now it is integral in our budget that we need these federal dollars in order to operate.
So give us a sense of how this government shutdown has directly impacted your tribe. What programs, what services?
Okay, so first we do have a kind of a shorter term memory of the last time it happened in 2013, and we ended up eating or losing roughly $1 million for the shutdown that happened in 2013. Right now we estimate that the daily cost for the shutdown is about $100,000 to our tribe. And how we're surviving through this time period, although that's about to change if there's another drawdown that's interrupted, is that we, my council voted to appropriate money from our reserves and our unexpended tribal support dollars. And so that's roughly about a week and a half to 2 weeks of expenses that we can survive with. After that, we will have to, everything will be on the table. We'll be looking at layoffs and furloughs, reduction in operations. We have law enforcement coverage. You know, whereas a government, we have the full range of services that we provide to our people, and all of that will have to be looked at. The deadline that we're looking at is January 15th as kind of a critical date, that if the government doesn't reopen, that's a critical time period.
And when we think of services, are we talking, you mentioned law enforcement, are we talking health care, are we talking, basic human needs?
Yes, and I would say that the most acute focus would be on emergency needs that we have for our people. Heating assistance is another one. We have in cooperation with the USDA, we do a food distribution for our members, and the food supplies during a government shutdown will be interrupted. And so even if we were to supplement it with our own money, we aren't going to get those foods supplies from the federal government. Another really big one is health. I think that's easily the largest component of our delivery system, about $30 million a year that we get from the federal government. And then we earn about $10 million in third-party revenues off of different insurances, including the Affordable Care Act. All of that is likely to be interrupted. And what we would try to do is we would try to make sure that we had our walk-in clinic would continue, and we would have emergency care. We would continue that and figure out how to pay for it. But hospital appointments and visits and all of that would be interrupted.
Aaron, what can be done to ensure that tribal resources are protected and maintained during future shutdowns?
So I'm very encouraged because I'm in Washington, D.C., and by the time this airs, we will have two American Indian women added to Congress, the first two in our history. We do have two American Indian males that are in Congress. So the two that are already in Congress have sponsored legislation, and they'll have to re-sponsor it because we're at the end of a legislative session, that will include exempting tribes from the effects of sequestration and making mandatory funding, funding that comes to tribes. So that's important, and I think most people can buy into that idea, although everybody suffers through shutdowns and it's unfair for everybody. But the reason why tribes should not be affected by it is because we've prepaid for this. We've already paid for the resources that are supposed to be coming back to our tribe. And so Congressman Mark Wayne Mullins and Congressman Tom Cole have supported mandatory funding and advance funding or advance appropriations so that we're not affected the next time. And then also we'll be joined by Congresswoman Deborah Holland from New Mexico and Therese Davids from Kansas. And we believe that there are very strong voices and they can influence on both sides of the aisle members of Congress to help out tribes. And we have a lot of support among Congress, and we believe that we can get this done.
Aaron Payment, chairman of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. Always great to talk with you, Aaron. Thank you so much.
Thank you.